With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. This is Jesse Zurawell and Perspective on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to Perspective. I'm Jesse Zurawell, your host for the hour. Back with me today is Glory Jones. Glory holds a degree in international relations, and she is an independent activist whose work focuses on advocacy for political prisoners, environmentalism, anti-imperialism, information freedom, and liberation from all forms of tyrannical systems. You can find her co-hosting the program Slow News Day, which is available on the Rockfin platform. Glory, welcome back. I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How are you?
I'm actually all right. You know what? More than myself, I hope you're at least doing relatively okay with the hellfire blazing over New York right now, or New England area.
Yes, I am. It's cleared up here. It started clearing up yesterday, and it's much clearer today. Although it is cloudy, there's sun, but 2 days ago, it was, as I've said on previous programs this week, it was sepia-colored outside, like a sepia photograph.
Yeah.
And very disorienting to wake up to. I have a light next to me that it's not on right now, but I had it on 2 days ago. And even with the curtains open and the outside light coming in, this light next to me, which is normally orangish, it looked bright white because of the light outside. It was very strange and, as I said, disorienting. And also it was strange, among many other things, to see a lot of people masked up again.
Oh, yeah.
Including
I had a friend driving around. Yeah, I have a friend in Boston who said that they put them back in the color tier system, where it's like, oh, we're in the red zone today, but now we're down back to yellow zone. Like, it's right back to 2 weeks to flatten the curve territory again.
Yeah, on my phone, I check the weather quickly each morning to see what the temperature is for the most part. And 2 days ago, there was glaring warning about the air quality, and there was a square map of not just the town I live in, but the surrounding area, and it was blood red, like screaming fear out of the phone.
Yeah.
And there was also a CBS News update. I haven't seen this before, news updates embedded in the weather app that comes on an iPhone, the standard weather app. And the news update said that New Yorkers, but it was meant for the New York metropolitan area, people are advised to mask up or stay indoors. And I said on the program yesterday to my guests that if you replace the air quality with a non-existent virus, then we're back in COVID operation territory. And
oh yeah, absolutely.
It was a lot of things, but it got me thinking about how easily the climate change fear narrative can be rolled out, and people who've been programmed to behave a certain way can be snapped right back into that behavior.
Yeah, well, it's that idea of like, yeah, I'm going to put on this old dingy cloth mask over my face because I got an alert from my smartphone telling me to do so, and not, hey, maybe I should be cautious about my activities today because it looks like you know, the third world filter that they put on Hollywood films anytime they go to like India or Mexico outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good point too. Devices that we use to monitor, we think we're using the devices to monitor the weather, or if you're talking about a Fitbit or a similar device, we think we're using it to monitor our heart rate or the steps we've taken. But then that information is used to tell us in a way how to behave. So it works back on us, even though we think we're the ones in control of the technology. And that's, it seems obvious when you realize it, but I don't know how many people actually think about that and how they're being directed by what their phones are telling them, in this case, with regard to the weather. And what is this, the measurement of air quality that's on the weather app? I'm not sure what it's measuring. There's a number system. And my roommate, who's also a very good friend, she was out at work and was texting me, the number is rising and it's here and it's here and it's here. And my response was, I don't know what this number is or how it's validated, if it's even validated, but just stop looking at it and gauge things by where you are, how things seem where you are, not how people are reacting, but how the weather actually seems where you are and how you feel, and go by that. And I understand people are going to get freaked out. That's human nature. And sadly, over the last 3+ years, there's been an insane amount of hideous programming. So people are going to freak out, and I'm not judging anybody, but it's disconcerting to watch, to see how easily the programming can be turned on again, if you will.
Well, I mean, normally, like, those things that a lot of people rely now on smartphones for, they normally, those would be cues that we could get from like nature. When it comes to little things like seeing pine cones shell up and, you know, close up and protect their shells, or whether the tide is super low, or whether the waves seem super calm just before a hurricane's about to come, like little cues in nature like that are what we used to be able to follow, and what, you know, a lot of people still are able to follow, but it's just more and more people are becoming reliant on their phones. And even, you know, even when we think we're not, it's like, oh, here comes along another update. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you have to update your health app. And, you know, the question there is how many people are going to take the update versus say, nah.
Right. And how is all of this technology programmed? Again, how is it validated? We don't know, for the most part. Nobody takes the time. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody. Nobody takes the time to look into that. We just take for granted that what we're being shown is accurate. But we should absolutely question that more. And you bring up a good point, too, in terms of looking at how nature is responding. I was outside 2 days ago when the weather was at its worst, at least by the looks of it. And the birds were very active, but not in a panicking way. They were just doing their normal thing, chirping. And there was a bright red cardinal that was out and about. And this huge blackbird came swooping in to pick at somebody's garbage, which is a normal sight here in this part of New Jersey. And so I looked at that and thought about that and thought, well, that's one indication that things, I shouldn't panic. That's how I took it. And maybe that was not the right cue to take, but that's how I took it. But the point is that we should look around at our natural environs and take cues from them, as opposed to what our phone or other technologies tell us.
Absolutely.
Speaking of digital technology, and speaking of Florida, where you are, on May 10th of this year, Governor Ron DeSantis approved Florida Senate Bill 1718, or SB 1718. And I'm reading here from a link you sent me, an article at jdsupra.com. Among other things, the bill will amend and expand the current Florida statutes related to employment of aliens without employment authorization, and not aliens from outer space, but so-called illegal immigrants, people who are so-called not allowed to be here, etc. The primary purpose of the bill as it relates to immigration is to strengthen enforcement and penalties against Florida employers for the hiring of aliens without employment authorization, and new requirements for Florida employers related to verification of work authorization through E-Verify. So E-Verify is the key here. Mm-hmm. What are we looking at here in terms of this rollout of E-Verify?
Well, E-Verify is essentially what it sounds like. It's a digital verification apparatus that's used and run by the Department of Defense. And essentially, that's what it's marketed as, at least. It allows employers or people who are contracted with the federal government to be able to verify the citizenship status of their employees. So prior to that bill being signed, it was only government agencies that had to use it on their employees to determine whether or not their citizens were documented or undocumented, whether they had the appropriate papers. But now that's being expanded to private companies as well, who, you know, rely on labor from undocumented immigrants. So that's the purpose of that bill, to make these private companies essentially verify that all their employees working for them are documented immigrants or in the process of receiving their citizenship. But in reality, what it sort of does is it provides this Trojan horse to be able to bring in a digital ID for a lot of people. And this is also an observable pattern with a lot of other surveillance measures that we see. A lot of times these technologies are tested on refugees, on border cities, on people at the border being detained by ICE and Border Patrol. So this is a similar case where we see the digital ID being rolled out and marketed as a way to help curb, quote unquote, illegal immigration, when in reality, it's eventually going to come back around to bite us all. Because in a lot of these provisions for bills in favor of E-Verify, what's happening is they're not only requiring the documents which prove your citizenship in the United States. What they're also starting to add to it is they're adding like non-photographic verifications to the database, to the E-Verify database that's run by the DHS, Department of Homeland Security. So, and it's very vague a lot of times in what this non-photographic verification could be. It could be, you know, your retina scan, like what you have to do with that clear at some airports now that they're implementing. It could be DNA even. It could be your fingerprints. It could be various forms of your identification that then get put into this massive database for the DHS to be able to surveil and track loads of citizens who are subject to you know, to having to be approved by this E-Verify software because of this bill in Florida. And I believe that a national bill was also floated as well. And that's actually the reason why Representative Thomas Massie was against the bill, was because he knew that that purposeful vagueness of the E-Verify system could provide a segue for a digital ID then to be enforced on all citizens and non-citizens within the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's so much that's not being said here, especially in this article, which is written by a law firm and
oh yeah,
essentially a vague legalese rendition of describing what this is all about. But the basics of the law, it will take effect the 1st of July this year. Penalties, at least at this point, for violations of the law will not go into effect until July 1st of next year. And there's a question and answer section that's part of this article. So one of the questions is, does every Florida employer have to use E-Verify now? And the answer is no. Only employers with 25 or more employees will be required to use the E-Verify system now. However, employers with less than 25 employees will still be required to verify employees' work authorization either through the form I-9 or E-Verify system. So the key part there is now, that suggests that this is subject to change, subject to modification. And there's also this strange like volunteer option for employers with less than 25 employees. You can still use the I-9, but there's also the E-Verify that you can use too. And it's hard to say what it is. It's not rewarded, but
you'll be like pat on the back almost.
Yeah.
Because that's what they've tried to do with other digital ID schemes here in Florida. Like, they haven't made it mandatory per se. There's this quote unquote smart ID scheme that they've been trying to implement in Florida and a couple other states, I believe, too, by having people like turn in their driver's licenses, and then those will become, and then the new driver's license that'll be issued will be, you know, connected to our phone with a digital ID. And that'll be, and so, you know, after that, say you get pulled over, you'll be able to whip out your phone and show your cop your digital ID license. They've tried like little schemes like that in Florida, and it just hasn't worked because nobody's done it. Mm-hmm. So I hope that's the case with this at least, but this is something that, you know, is more mandatory than past digital ID schemes in Florida. So it's why it kind of raises concerns a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the question, what is E-Verify? And you described that, but here's how it's sold essentially. E-Verify, or advertised in a seemingly innocuous way, E-Verify is an internet-based system created by the federal government that compares information entered by an employer from an employee's Form I-9 employment eligibility verification to records available to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration to confirm employment eligibility. So it's billed as this, no pun intended, it's billed as this it's just this system, this streamlined system to make sure that people who are working are allowed to be working and are in the state of Florida, in the US legally. That's all it is. And this is meant to help the economy. There's the Department of Economic Opportunity, I believe it's called in Florida, which is an interesting name. So the DEO is affiliated with this, and in concert with the federal government, this is just about strengthening the economy is how it's billed to us. But as you said, there's so much room here for abuse, and I have no illusion that this is being introduced purposely as a Trojan horse. And we have to point out again that DeSantis signed this into law. He's been long championed as some sort of freedom fighter, but when it comes to fourth industrial revolution technology and biosurveillance, and as we'll get to, so-called smart cities and
his love impact for investing,
his love for Israel, he's anything but a freedom fighter, if you want to use that term. And the same too goes for Trump, obviously, but also RFK Jr., I have to say, because you look at what he's involved with crypto, you look at his stance on Palestine. He said some good things. Apparently, he's said some good things with regard to Assange and WikiLeaks, but what he said with regard to Palestine, where he stands with crypto and so-called free market capitalism, and also the people he has working with him on his campaign, like Charles Eisenstein, for example. At the very least, all of these beg a lot of questions. Yeah. So,
well, and his daughter-in-law, Amaryllis Fox, former CIA. And I mean, like, the thing with his statements on Assange, saying he'll pardon Assange day one, I mean, Donald Trump has said he loves WikiLeaks, and he was literally the one that had Assange dragged out of the embassy to be renditioned to the United States. So it's almost like a non sequitur argument at this point to bring up Assange, and especially because this, you know, when citing the reasons for RFK Jr., when citing the reasons for why he initially spoke out in support of Roger Waters, who's being, you know, tried in the court of public opinion by Germany for quote unquote anti-Semitism. Right. The initial reasons
for
that
rock,
he cited,
a rock opera.
Yeah, for a rock opera. The initial reasons that RFK cited for speaking out in support of Roger Waters were his stance on COVID and Ukraine. And it's like, okay, his stance on Ukraine, I'll give him that. But Roger Waters barely, if at all, spoke about COVID. So yeah. You bring that up about Roger Waters as opposed to his dogged defense of Julian Assange. And I mean, like, I'm someone who I'll just be out in the open of this. Like, I didn't grow up on Pink Floyd, that much is obvious. But like, I never really listened to much Pink Floyd. I never really listened to much Roger Waters. Literally, one of the first things I knew about Roger Waters was his support for Assange. So it's like, if you're coming from a place of not knowing much about Roger Waters, but you are in tune to like the sort of activism sphere, then you should know that. For him to not bring that up, it's like, okay, so you can't even bring Assange up as a reason for why you supported Roger Waters. That just makes me side eye. And also, this is also a man, RFK, who visited Israel in 2019. So you have several decades after the Nakba already taking place, and yet he still goes to Israel again in 2019, also right during the Great March of Return in Gaza. And he's sitting there going, oh man, one thing I love about the Israelis is how stubborn they are. You'll make it through this. And he's going there under the guise of saving the Jordan River, you know, in big quotes. So yeah, for him to go there after decades already of the Nakba just like solidified his position already.
Right. And as if that weren't enough, he recently participated in the Israel Independence Parade, as it's called, in New York, and stood side by side with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, who's a disgusting figure. He once took out a full page ad in the New York Times to attack Max Blumenthal as an anti-Semite, and I you know, have my reservations about Max Blumenthal's work. I think he's done a lot of good work, but there's a lot to be desired, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, the point being that this ad was taken out to try to smear Max as an anti-Semite for his very good work, I will say, on Palestine at the time. And this is also a man who's known as America's rabbi or something like that, because he was the key, not character, but the star of some sort of reality show, I think called Shalom in the Home, where he
Jesus Christ.
he would help families deal with their family chaos as a rabbi, but a dyed in the wool Zionist, and somebody who very obviously hates Palestinians and wants to see them eradicated. There's no equivocation about that. He'll probably deny it until the day he dies, but actions speak louder than words. Anyway, Kennedy recently stood side by side with this guy at that parade celebrating Israel's so-called independence and essentially swore his allegiance to the Zionist occupation entity. And that in and of itself is detestable and should be called out, but it speaks to this bigger picture of people like DeSantis, people like Trump, Kennedy. We have to look past what is being sold to us or put in front of us essentially as theater. These are characters in a game or in a story that's being crafted. Mm-hmm. And just because they make some token gestures in saying things that appeal to us emotionally does not mean that we should support them in any way. Now, people obviously can make up their own minds about whether they want to support any of these people or not, but I regard all of them as puppets, and they all have very questionable, at the very least, pasts, and we should be taking them to task all the time. Well, also, in my opinion.
And I'd advise against giving them any of your money, too.
Yes. And realizing that voting, electoral politics it's not only a waste of time, it is meant to distract you. It's meant to divert your energy elsewhere. And it's meant to turn, especially energy in service of resistance, into something anodyne, into something anemic. And it's what happens every 4 years. And it's not going to be different this time around, despite the grandstanding we're already seeing. So we need to keep this in mind, and also not look for leaders, not look for masters, not look for teams, look for community, mm-hmm. of course, but this is not the way to go. And that's my opinion, but I think it's borne out by objective reality.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's based in not only our current reality, but the observable history too. And you know, that's not to say that there's like no power in having a figure that can galvanize people, but the thing with that is when you actually take a deeper look into these events, oftentimes behind the singular figure you have them grounded by their community. You have them grounded mm-hmm. by their ideals, which are constantly reinforced by the people around them. So that's what you always have to consider, even when it comes to, you know, having the heroes and the people you look up to.
Yes, very much so. So going back to E-Verify, we have that going on. And since we brought up Florida's ties with the Zionist occupation entity, I want to get into that. But first, let's take a quick pause. And when we come back, dive into that seemingly undying relationship between the state of Florida and the Zionist state, in inverted commas, known as Israel. I'll be right back with Glory Jones here on TNT Radio after this.
You should hear what Bruce de Torres is talking about on World Stage.
How long were you practicing medicine before 2020, before COVID-19 came about? And what are the most devastating or urgent things that you're working so hard to teach the world so much about through your Substack?
I've been practicing for about 10 years as a staff. When the pandemic hit, I thought it would sort of blow over. I saw that the case fatality rate was very, very low. For, you know, young, healthy individuals, the fatality of SARS-CoV-2 was less than 1%. You know, it simply wasn't something that was alarming the way the media was blowing it up. And, you know, once they started rolling out the vaccines, I thought, okay, well, you know, they'll only give us 2 doses. I was not interested because, you know, I'm simply not interested in experimental medications to begin with. As an oncologist, I give experimental medications to my end stage cancer patients. So, you know, I'm well aware of the risks, especially of new medicines. And I've been speaking out about the vaccine injuries and deaths since about mid-2021.
Bruce de Torres on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places. Magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
Perspective with Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Perspective here on TNT Radio, where we are live 24/7. I'm Jesse Zurawell, and I'm speaking with independent activist Glory Jones. Glory is also the host of the show Slow News Day, which you can find on Rockfin. Glory, just before the break, we started talking about Florida's not just undying, but growing, ever-growing relationship with Israel. And part of that includes the Florida-Israel Business Accelerator, or FIBA, which is supposedly a nonprofit that is, according to ABC Action News out of Tampa, creating jobs and opportunity through tech startups and bringing Israeli tech to Tampa. And I'd like you to flesh out the details here, but essentially what this is advertised as is Israeli high-tech companies investing in Florida and helping Florida's economy. But it doesn't take reading that deeply into it to realize that that's not quite what's happening. So what is going on here?
Yeah, well, you know, investing, more like impact investing. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, pretty much, like you said, there's an increasing relationship between the Zionist occupation of Palestine and the state of Florida to increase these sort of, you know, quote unquote, innovations in a lot of sectors, really. It's coming in the agricultural sector, it's coming in the health tech or biotech sector. And one thing I'm noticing as well is it's coming into the water and sewage industries as well. This article talked about specifically a company, I forgot its name specifically, but it was in
WaterGen.
Yeah, engaging in this process to create drinking water out of air. And I mean, I get it, it's humid here, but also we're one of the most water plentiful states in the entire country. The best way to ensure that we all get clean drinking water is to stop polluting our waters with the overuse of fertilizers from big agribusiness and industrial farms, and wastewater from phosphate mining as well. And, you know, ensuring that our water is clean and not continually purposefully polluting it. That's how you ensure that we get a plentiful clean drinking water and not partnering with Israeli tech sector to try and, you know, pull water out of thin air or heavier because it's Florida and it's humid. But I digress. That's what's happening there. And they're coming to Tampa, which is on the west side of Florida, on the Gulf of Mexico side. But they're also just coming everywhere in general, really. They're starting to, again, increase their cooperation with the health tech, especially, I believe, not last time, I don't think, but the time before I was on your show where we talked about the Ron DeSantis meeting in Israel to talk about mm-hmm. that they're going to help sponsor in the biotech sector, which, again, we already know what innovations in biotech look like from an Israeli perspective. But when that combines with Florida, what you're going to see is sort of this myriad of health, quote unquote, innovations that involve really ushering in an internet of bodies and testing out all kinds of experimental technology on people to sort of distance ourselves from our humanity and turn us more into these synthetic beings plugged into an internet of things. So that's what that's going to look like more and more as people seek and use the rhetoric for that tries to bring in this, you know, transformative technology and these innovations into the state of Florida.
Yes. And if you go to the Florida Israel Business Accelerator's website and look under the Our Companies tab, if you look at that page, it has, going back to 2017, because this nonprofit, at least nominally, it calls itself a nonprofit. It began in 2016. So from 2023 back to 2017, it lists the companies involved with it, the Israeli companies, and it lists which ones are actually in Florida, which actually have made the move to Florida. And it seems to me there are many more that haven't than have. But looking at some of these companies, you have hospitality tech, which includes companies like Extend Robotics, which is one that's in Florida. You have Agriculture Tech, which includes Endrip, which is involved in gravity micro irrigation. You have an other tech category, which includes WaterGen, which we talked about. And in 2021, there were a lot of biotech companies. So you have Diagnostic Robotics, you have MDI Health, whose brand essentially is medication data impact. So impact investing, data This is what we've talked about on previous conversations. You have one called MetaWare, whose logo is a pill with the Wi-Fi bars coming out of the side of it. So that's disturbing. There was a Florida Israel Agriculture Innovation Summit in 2020, and just a bevy of agritech companies. I don't know what a lot of these do, but there's one called Aruga, which is AI farming. There's Hortica, which is next generation cultivation. There is VisiCan. I don't know what that is, but it seems like something to do with monitoring, but don't quote me on that. Then there was the Jabil project in 2020, which included BioBeat, so medical smart monitoring. This is a company now based in Florida. In the 2020 cohort, as it's called on here, there was ACIST, A-C-I-I-S-T, which is Smart City Networks, AI Health, but I is spelled E-Y-E.
Yeah.
Also,
so clever.
Skyline Robotics, Milagro AI. In 2019, and it's worth going through, going back to 2017 to see how long this has been going on and the companies that are involved. Yeah. In 2019, there was Neuro Applied. There was Extend, the letter X-T-E-N-D, Extending Reality Skywards. In 2018, we had the one that stuck out to me in 2018, Wise Shelf, transforming retail shelves to IoT or Internet of Things. Yeah. And then Better Care, enhancing elder care through technology, which is great
to kind of try and pilot with the state of Florida, because we have huge retirement communities here. So you have, right, you know, in their perverted mindset, you have like, perfect testing grounds for that sort of technology.
Mm-hmm. And then also in 2017, which I believe was the first year this program, this enterprise really rolled out, there was Sky Sapience, which just, the logo sort of looks like Lockheed's logo, and those two words together, Sky Sapience, stick out to me. I don't know what they're involved with, but it seems like something questionable at the very least. There is Tevatronic, autonomous irrigation. And then also Beverage Analytics by Weissbierger, which was acquired by Anheuser-Busch. So lots of 4IR technology here, to say the least. And one thing I want to ask, though, is how much of the money being made by these companies, those in Florida and those who haven't moved to Florida but who've partnered with Florida businesses to supposedly help those businesses, how much of the money is actually going into Florida's economy? Because it doesn't seem like that much based on the article from the ABC affiliate in Tampa. They interview a woman who is the co-executive director at FIBA, and she said in part that, quote, "We have worked with over 78 companies since our beginning 6 years ago, and those companies have raised a total of $920 million globally so far. And of those, 24 companies have created almost 100 high-skilled technology sector jobs." So since 2016, 2017, they've only created almost 100 high-skilled technology sector jobs in Florida, and have made $920 million. Something doesn't add up there in terms of this benefiting Florida's economy.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. I mean, it can benefit the economy on paper as, you know, as that's just how economics works sometimes with regards to numbers magic, making everything look pretty. But the reality is, it never, not only is the economy not actually benefiting from it, but the, but whatever benefits that are sold to people as a part of these plans and schemes, they aren't actually, you know, reaped at all by the actual citizens of Florida, in particular people, you know, like Florida locals who have lived here all their lives, as opposed to, you know, maybe maybe a quote-unquote high-skilled tech worker coming down from New York who's super excited to participate in the new Tampa Innovation District or the Miami Innovation District or you know, a Bitcoin miner coming down to Miami. In that regards, you know, it might look good for you, but for the local Florida population, it doesn't. In fact, a lot of these sort of quote unquote, again, in quotes, innovation schemes with regards to key infrastructure like water and sewage infrastructure with it, which Israel is trying to take over more and more. It's leading to, you know, prices rising for a lot of Floridians, and it's only adding to the cost of living crisis because, you know, in the case of, I can give one instance that's just close to home for me in Fort Lauderdale. Our water rights are at a threat of going up because they're trying to sign away our water and sewage rights to an Israeli company. And the treatment plans that they have for the water are going to lead to rises in water bills and, you know, in the prices of water bills rising. So, and, you know, that's something that I can extrapolate and predict will only happen to more and more locals. The cost of living crisis will only get worse as we're forced to, you know, pay for these innovations and infrastructure that go towards building these smart cities, these innovation districts, these, you know, tech hubs that are housing a bunch of Israeli companies.
Right. And it needs to be pointed out whenever possible and whenever relevant that Israel is a colonial, apartheid, genocidal entity that calls itself a state. And this investment from Israel is coming from that entity, a Zionist entity. It's not a Jewish entity. Zionism and Judaism are not the same thing. And that should upset anybody with a conscience that this is being invited in anywhere. But in this case, it's being invited into Florida by a governor who, again, touts himself as anti-globalist. And if there's a globalist entity in the world, and it has nothing to do with Judaism, it has to do with colonialism, it has to do with expropriation or theft of land. It has to do with dissolving borders, indigenous borders. It has to do with theft of resources. Israel is a globalist entity. And if we look at Israel's activity in the globalized economy, in globalized empire, it's a huge part of that. So it's globalist in that sense. It's not, lest anyone try to say ginning up some sort of anti-Semitic trope, which is nonsense. That's not what I'm doing. I'm talking about the facts on the ground, the economic facts, how Israel comports itself, conducts itself on the global stage. It's a globalist entity. It's part of global empire. And
yeah, well, and what's ironic too is some of these tech startups that Israel has that are coming into Florida to partner with, you know, these industries to quote unquote, you know, fourth revolution industrialize it, they're endorsed by companies like Nestle and Rolls-Royce and Mercedes-Benz. I mean, you know, Nestle is just a terrible company to begin with, but like Mercedes-Benz was an active Nazi collaborator. And here you have it endorsing these Israeli startups. So it just goes to show like that, you know, this isn't an issue of anti-Semitism. It's like you said, Zionism, colonialism, or what you could say recolonization, because that's ultimately what the Great Reset is. It's a great recolonization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good point. This article from the ABC affiliate in Tampa also points out that one of the main goals of FIBA is to find problems locally that tech companies in Israel might be able to solve. And when I read that, I immediately thought, are there not companies in Florida, local companies that can solve the problems that other Florida companies have? Why this need to outsource to a colonial, apartheid, genocidal entity?
Yeah, that's across the Atlantic Ocean. and you know, that's just the asinine part of this to me about our whole partnership with Israel is, you know, you have so many instances like that where people are, and not, this isn't just a thing with Florida. This is a thing with a lot of countries and a lot of countries that are going to be, you know, leaders within the so-called multipolar world order, like China, for instance. They're looking to Israel and, you know, seeking partnerships with them because they know that they have, you know, a lot of key innovations with regards to surveillance technology and transhumanist technology and the Internet of Things and the subsequent Internet of Bodies that's connected to that. So because of that, they pursue these partnerships with Israel to usher in, you know, and roll out these new technologies under the guise of innovation for local problems that we can't be solved because, gosh darn it, there are just some problems that can't be solved by the locals. So they roll in these technologies alongside Israel, even though anybody, you know, who sees through all the marketing can know, hey, you know what, this problem, it really doesn't need a massive, you know, upgrade in surveillance technology as its solution. It doesn't need a partnership with a genocidal Zionist occupation of Palestine to be solved.
Right. So, and I'm asking you a mostly speculative question here, and perhaps it doesn't even matter because what's happening is happening regardless, but do you think that DeSantis is aware of what he and what Florida has gotten into here? Do you think there's intent here, or do you think he's just clueless?
Oh, no, I don't think he's clueless at all. I mean, this goes back to, you know, our first or second show together where I pointed out this was a guy who was a guard at Gitmo. You know, he suggested force feeding prisoners on a hunger strike. He laughed at prisoners being tortured. You know, I don't see that same man being, you know, an unwilling, naive participant in all of this who just so happens to be, you know, swindled by the Zionists. No, I think he's a very willing participant in all of this. And, you know, I think he's eager to be able to profit off of helping usher in this totalitarian technocracy through, you know, throughout Florida and by extension, wherever else he can in the United States.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if more of this comes to light. You and I have been doing our best to bring these problems to light. And they're not problems. I don't care about DeSantis or his campaign. So I'm not talking about problems in that regard, but problems for humanity, problems for the people of Florida, problems from people who are just trying to live lives without intrusion from the Internet of Things and the Internet of Bodies, and a very real push toward not just transhumanism, but posthumanism. Things that don't even occur to a lot of people on a day-to-day basis, even though they're being driven individually and collectively in that direction. So it'll be interesting to see as we continue to expose this problem, if more people pick it up. I know we're not the only ones who are clued into this. But it'll be interesting too to see if DeSantis publicly addresses any of this, or if his most ardent champions address any of this, and if they do, if they'll address it straight on, or if they'll spin it. I'll wager 2-1 that it'll be the latter, that it will be a spin, and it will be sold somehow as some sort of freedom 5D chess move, just like we're seeing these 5D absolutely chess moves coming from the Kremlin. But we will see. And Glory, we are up to time, but thank you so much for another conversation, and I look forward to our next one.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And that's it for me for this week. I will be back at the same time on Monday. Stay tuned for Joe Hopped up next here on TNT Radio. Have a great weekend and take care.